Reading from this morning comes from the same section in John's Gospel as we read last week, and it's this section of John chapter 15 in which we hear Jesus proclaim all of the gifts of Advent. Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words, I abide in you. Ask what you will, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." The third of the Sundays in Advent, the Sunday of joy, following the Sundays of peace and hope, and anticipating the Sunday of love. Joy is distinct from happiness, in that happiness sort of depends on circumstances. Fun things happen, you feel happy. Joy, on the other hand, is more foundational and does not depend on circumstance. In some ways, joy helps us cope with circumstance. You can schedule joy. That's the working title of this little meditation, Scheduling Joy. The sort of secret subtitle is, that's what you do when you're feeling sad or troubled or afraid. You schedule joy. How do you do that? Joy comes through us, and you can schedule a time to do it. First, you can schedule joy through generosity. Doesn't even have to be much. In fact, if it's a surprising gesture of generosity, even a tiny small one, you'd be amazed how much the joy flows through you. Next time you're at McDonald's or any other fast food joint, and especially if it's a kid that's in, obviously, their first job and they've been doing it for about a week, because you can tell, pay for your food and then give them a $2 tip. They won't know what to do with it, because you don't tip at fast food joints. Try it. $2. The kid will light up, and joy will come through you through generosity. Now, this past summer, I saw somebody else take this idea to the next level, and I've never forgotten it, and I'm looking for opportunities to follow along. We picked up two grandkids in Dallas, a 9-year-old and 11-year-old, who love each other very much, boy and a girl. And yet, on a road trip between Dallas and Lubbock, you know, tensions are what they are in a car full of kids. So we're stopping for lunch, and there's a, I don't want to eat there, I don't want to eat that. We picked. So we're in there, and things are a little tense. I'm the driver, right? And I have no authority in the car at all, so as it were. So we're in this place, and we pay for our food and all that, and I notice that there was an ambulance in the parking lot. There are two first responders just there having lunch in line ahead of us, and then the guy in ahead of us behind them. And the guy stepped around the two firefighter guys and said, "Their lunch is on me." I went, "Whoa, that's cool. Their lunch is on me." Just another little act of generosity. And I sort of got caught up in this little groundswell of joy. And the guy is going, "You don't have to do that." And the guy said, "If I thought I had to, I wouldn't. Just buy your lunch." So maybe next time you're in a restaurant, maybe it's a fast food joint and there are a couple fire guys or something. Or maybe it's a sit-down place like Chili's and there's a young couple or an elderly couple or maybe somebody wearing our nation's uniform. Just secretly, theirs is on me. And watch the joy flow through you through generosity. Doesn't take much, and it changes your day. Schedule joy. Maybe you should, we all got calendars, right? February 13th, schedule generosity. Set a little alert, 9:15, 15 minutes ahead. Schedule generosity. You can also schedule learning. Learning a new thing. Famous psychologist Albert Ellis used to say that learning something new is better than Prozac. It is an antidepressant. Just to learn something. Maybe learn it for a particular reason, or maybe just learn it for its own sake. Some of you may have noticed, certainly been noticeable around our house, that in the last 6 months or so, I've been learning magic tricks. And at least around our house, where the audience isn't very big, I'm going, is this your card? And she goes, it's always my card. Oh, come on, just lighten up, right? Well, interestingly enough, whether or not there's an audience, the learning for its own sake is a source of joy. I'll tell you how I learned this. I was on hold. The details don't matter, but if you've ever been on hold for about 20 or 30 minutes, you know what fun that is. You know, and you keep hearing the same thing. Your call was important to us. Other specialists are assisting other great customers. Well, I knew this was going to happen because of the circumstances of the call. And I had watched a YouTube video on how to do a new little three-card trick that I've been curious about. So instead of bemoaning my fate, it occurred to me that learning something might help. And so while I'm on hold, I learned the moves on this little trick and then have refined it. So the learning, even for its own sake, is a way to channel joy, even when you're really annoyed or even terribly upset. Google something for the heck of it. We used to, when I was a kid, I had a teacher that used to say, if you just take the dictionary and open it at random and drop a pencil anywhere on the page, you will learn a new word. That's probably still true, you know. The learning in and of itself and for its own sake is an antidepressant. It is a source through which joy is channeled. A little generosity, a little learning. You can schedule a time to learn. May 12th, 4:30 p.m., set an alert. Schedule learning. Schedule joy. And you can also schedule, I think, among the most powerful sources of joy. Some of that source even comes through deep sadness. A memory that evokes a story. One of the great pieces of wisdom from the tradition of Jewish Hasidim is that God made man, God made woman, because God loves stories. My brother-in-law, Scott, my sister's husband, scheduled joy for me about a year ago, and I didn't even know it. It's a story about my grandmother, and I've told you millions of stories about her all these years, but this particular one has to do with where she lived. Now, her whole life, she never had a mortgage. She never owned a house. She always rented. And the house in which my mother grew up, and the house in which I first knew where she lived, and the house in which she lived, sadly too briefly, with the love of her life, my Grandpa Lloyd, who I lost when I was 7, was a 1.5-bedroom apartment over a bakery in a pretty sketchy part of town. Still is. Well, my brother-in-law, Scott, knows the guy that lives there now and owns the building, and unbeknownst to me, scheduled a time for me to go walk through this place that I had not been through in well over 50 years. I thought, oh, I have such fond memories of that place. And again, this is where I got to know and feel some of the love of my Grandpa Lloyd, who I didn't know for very long, but I've never forgotten, and is something of a role model for me. And I have a picture in my phone of the floor in that tiny little place, the place on the floor where I would say to Lloyd, want to play marbles? And he would go, oh, sure. And even toward the end, and I knew he wasn't well, for him to get down on the floor and play marbles with me was a tremendous act of love. And it brings me joy just to think about it. Oddly enough, and I knew I was going to talk about this yesterday, Josh is our youngest grandson. He's almost 4. And he and Lily are in town. They got here last night. And out of nowhere, Josh goes, want to play fire trucks? I went, to myself, not especially. But channeling my inner Lloyd and experiencing this profound sense of joy on the floor with Josh playing fire trucks. And you can schedule this. You can schedule a memory, and you can schedule a story that will bring you joy. October 9th, 6:30 p.m., scroll through your phone and schedule a memory. Schedule the joy. Now, I told you a little while ago, a lot of what I'm talking about is not original stuff. The notion of learning something, being something of an antidepressant, comes from Albert Ellis, a famous psychologist. There was one other piece of that. You not only need a calendar to schedule joy, you need one of these. You need a jar of M&Ms or something like it. Albert Ellis's prescription for antidepressant was a Dove bar and learn something. Well, two M&Ms will do the same thing. And everybody gets two M&Ms today just for practice. to schedule joy, because it gives you just this little shot of energy to overcome the inertia, especially if you're feeling sad or lonely or afraid or depressed. You know what will help, and this will help you get there. Get an M&M jar somewhere and fill it full of M&Ms and schedule joy 3 times to get over, just to get over the world you're in inside your own head, and let joy come through you through Jesus' promise. And of course, he promised that our joy would come to him through his own sacrifice. And there is an element of sacrifice and generosity and learning and even memories. But that is what joy is, and he brought it to the world. Now I want to close with how this works together in the form of ministry and in the form of family and in the form of community. This is the great prayer of St. Francis. And as I go through each of what St. Francis asks of God, feel how the joy comes through us as God answers this prayer. A prayer, a couple M&Ms. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Schedule the joy.